right, Acts chapter 17. I'm not going to give you all the background. We got some time here to make up here. I didn't realize how all those extra messages took time. I'm sorry about that. I lost time, lost track. Acts chapter 17. Calling this the blame game. These couple messages that we've done here maybe seem a little strange. Have you ever been reading through the Bible? Hope you have. Have you been reading through the Bible and you think, I wonder why God put that in there? You know what I'm saying? He said, I wonder why. I mean, he's only got so much space in his Bible to talk about. Why in the world did he put that there? Sometimes I think it's because I think he put things in there that have a lot that have to do with us, that maybe we are not ready for. We don't understand yet. Maybe we haven't lived it long enough. Maybe we haven't been through the issue. I don't know about you, but I've already read things. Well, what does that have to do with anything? And then I go through something, and then I realize, that's why that thing's in there. There was that, you know, this. I've been reading the Bible since I was a kid, and there's a lot of things in there. What does that mean? That's a big deal. I don't need to know that. But then I grow up, and it makes a difference. There's sometimes where we've just. It's for things that are, there's things in the Bible that are for us right now. There are things that were specifically, though we can learn some things from them, there were some things that were for the Jews. Remember, this is for all people for all time. And of course, though there's some things I don't think we're going to understand, it's going to be the people who are left here after once the tribulation begins, there are going to be some things that's in there that they're going to understand better than we are. But there's some practical things in here and things in life that I think that can cause us to stumble. The word the Bible uses, offended. He says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That word does not mean, well, I'm offended. It's not talking about that. It's really the word offended there really means to stumble, to get off track, to kind of... have a breakdown in the middle of life. I'm not talking about a big major breakdown except that, you know, a flat tire. You know what I mean? A flat tire in life. It's not really a mental, you know, breakdown or anything, but just things that just kind of throw you off track and get you off track and get you off on the wrong thing and get you and makes you stop serving and get accused of all kinds of things. Now, sometimes... those things, and we think about mostly those things that come in from the outside. And that's kind of what we're talking about here in this passage. There's folks from the outside that come in to try to stop what we're trying to do. And we fight that all the time. Sometimes it's folks from the inside. In fact, sometimes you're blindsided by things that you never expect to hear. And so there's things that come up and sometimes those things can hurt almost more than somebody from the outside, and we get things out of perspective. You know, I mean, for instance, when Moses got them all out of Egypt, and he finally got things up and running, and things were moving along, and so forth and so on. And then you got Korah and Dathan, who said, you were taking too much upon yourself. We need to be telling you what to do, Moses. And so all of a sudden, they get, you know, it happens like that. I can't tell you how many pastors that I've talked to over the years who, you know, have put their sweat and their blood in a church, and then some church member comes in and talks about how, you know, here's what you should be doing, and all of a sudden there's a big battle because... now that things are up and running, somebody else was to come in and run the show. Can I get a witness, Miss Jenny? Because her and her husband were he was a pastor, and so they know what it's like being in the ministry. And so that happens. And so all these kind of things can be a problem. And what happens a lot of times is this blame game. And we start playing with all that. Now that's, be honest with you, I wrote this message, be honest with you, about 15, 16 years ago. I've reworked it a lot for tonight, but when we went through with this thing here originally, in Acts way back when we first started the church. But we're going to see some things here that I think will be a blessing. Now, here we go. In Acts chapter 17, look at verse number 7. Acts of 17, verse number 1. Look what it says here. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. That means is the Messiah. Preached of that he is the, when you see the word Christ in the New Testament, you could simply substitute the term Messiah, the King that is to come. The Jewish people were expecting the King to come. So you can always substitute. You see Christ. Remember, that means Messiah. Verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took, in other words, you could kind of say it this way, but the Jews which believed not, being moved with envy, that's kind of, it's really what it is. Of course, the King James trying his best to be word for word. So let's say it that way. But the Jews which believed not, being moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, so they went to the house of Jason looking for these people, but they weren't there. But that's not going to stop them from making an uproar. So when they're going to do whatever they need to do, they found them not. So they drew Jason and certain brethren. Jason had some buddies over, and so they take Jason, pull him out, and all his buddies there, his brethren, unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Now Jason may have been, consorting with Paul and Silas, but he wasn't the one turned the place upside down. But that didn't stop them. We're certainly not going to let the lack of the truth stop us. Did you catch that? All right. Okay. These that have turned the world upside down are come thither also, verse 7, whom Jason hath received. It says they have. Now, I'll make sure you always read this. When they went to Jason's house, were they there? But they said, Jason has received them. But they weren't there. So, there's a lot of folks will read the Bible and say, whatever the word said, it must have been true. And they get confused. Listen, one of the things you need to understand when you're reading the Bible, that the Bible is an accurate record of what happened. The Bible is an accurate record of certain things that Satan has said, but he's the liar and a father of it. And so here again, these people are saying that Jason, that they said, well, Jason has received it, but when they got to Jason's house, they weren't there. So, we don't know whether he really received them or not. So verse 7, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. I'll explain that verse in time here. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Now watch this. Who coming thither, I'm coming to Berea, the next town, went into the synagogue of the Jews. There's a little humor here. They went into the synagogue. They got themselves in trouble. A lot of folks saved. And then, of course, it caused an uproar. Whenever God's working, Satan hates it. And so they get attacked and they go out of town and they do it all over again. Just do it all over again. Don't let it get you down. Just keep going. Let's pray. We're going to talk about real quick the blame game. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all you're teaching us here. Lord, sometimes we got to mature. We got to see things for what they are. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us see these days. May your Holy Spirit move in Christ's name. We ask, amen. If you've ever raised kids, and, folks who have, okay. We got an expert back here, Miss Megan. She's got 9, and somebody is trusting her with a 10th one tonight that's not hers. And the first time your kid told you something, and they were very, very sincere, you probably believed them. But after a while, sometimes you learn. You can't necessarily believe everything a child says. Sometimes you got to go check it out. In fact, you say, well, okay, let's go see. And you start, have you ever heard the term, consider the source? Consider this, listen, in the Christian life, and that's one of these, that's kind of what this lesson is about. We need to consider the source. We need to understand that not everything that glitters is gold. And folks aren't necessarily always on the up and up with you. And you've got to have some sense about you and some understanding and be able to see through some things. Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now we're Christians and we want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, you know. We really do. But the fact is, after a while, you kind of have to learn, there's a source there, and we have to be careful with it. Now, the work of the Lord is the most satisfying and fulfilling work you will ever do. You're making a difference in someone's life for eternity. However, in order to make that eternal difference, folks must be willing to admit their own sinfulness and receive the Savior. The receiving heaven part is usually not too difficult. In fact, it wouldn't be too difficult if it wasn't for the part of admitting our sin part. And as soon as you begin pronouncing our sinfulness, you are going against the pride that is within all of us. And when you turn on the light, some folks are glad to see the truth and come to the light, and others dislike what they see, and they seek to put out your lights. And we need to expect these things. They will surely come. We are not to fight them. We are to just keep shining the light in other places and draw out those who want to know Christ. And though we are not fighting those who hate the light, they will still perceive us as the enemy often. Now be sure the opposition is going to come after you. Expect it. All that will live godly shall suffer persecution. It may come at different levels, at different extremes, at different intensities. Just don't allow it to get you off the track and cause you to stumble. John 16, Jesus is the last night before he's going to go be crucified. He's talking to his disciples. And Jesus says this. He says, quote, these things have I spoken to you that ye should not be offended. He says, I don't want you to be tripped up. I don't want you to stumble. I don't want you to get off track. I don't want you to let things stop you. Verse 2, They shall put you out of the synagogues. And of course, Paul certainly is an example of that. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that they doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. You didn't have any problem, because I was the one taken to eat. I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask of me whither that goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So Jesus is telling them, he says, there's going to be things that's going to happen. Don't be surprised. Now, the fact I say that, and we all still are, and sometimes we're surprised by the source. This is Satan knows how to push your buttons, and sometimes he catches us off guard. Because sometimes attack comes from a direction that you never expected. And sometimes it happens, and it's not a thing you could do it, and it takes you off guard. And it's hard sometimes to deal with that. But we can't let it stop us. We get up next morning, we brush ourselves off, and we head at it again. Number one, this is a quick review from last week from an early part of the passage. In chapter 17, verse number 5, there are always going to be those who refuse to hear the truth. And chapter 5 says, there were some that believed not. Believe not means to disbelieve willfully. They chose not to believe. It's amazing how we can do that. And then I use that word contumacious, a swelling. Not only did they choose not to believe, but they were haughty about it. They were unyielding. They were like a rebellious little child. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. It's a crazy, you wouldn't think the adults would act like that, but they do. I'll be honest with you, when I first came up here, there was a couple of times I went out and visited somebody and said, I'm not going to go to church because I was at so-and-so church, and one night we had a business meeting. Before I knew it, there was two guys going fisticuffs in the front of the church. And so I went to another church, and I thought, man, this is really great and wonderful. And we had a business meeting. Before I knew it, there was two guys down front going fisticuffs at the church. I said, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And listen, when things go good, old Satan is going to try to fight it for all he's worth. He really is. He's going to do whatever he can. In fact, he's going to fight something that's already got an impact, a name in the community. Because when it goes up, it causes a lot more collateral damage. He loves that. I remember when we first came here, I'm not trying to hurt anybody here, but I remember when we first came here, one of the things I said to our folks, I mean that 25 people that was here, Satan would like nothing more than to see this great big building sit here along this busy road where 10 to 12,000 cars go by every day, and may have it boarded up where it used to say church and now it's nothing. He would love nothing more than to see this church go down. But he didn't plant this church in this building to close it up. And you got, listen, as soon as you've actually got, you got something good going, that's when he's going to attack. And you say, and a lot of people will give up. They will stumble right there. Number two, some folks may feel so convicted when they're told about what the truth is that they attack the messenger. You've heard a thing, don't kill the messenger. Number three, Christians, and especially soul winners, live contrary to the world. And remember, doing right and being godly and trying to win folks to Christ goes against the current, the tide of the world. Number four, when criticism comes, we need to make sure we are on the right side of things. If we're on God's side of things, then God's going to fight our battles. And how do you know whether you're on the God's side? You got to try the spirits, see what's going on. This is in our story here. Here are some people. There are some men here of the lewd men of the baser sort. Listen, if folks who lewd men of the baser sort start fighting you, you know you're on the right side. You know, the chances are you're on the right side because they're fighting you. And so they're giving you a hard time for doing right. You're probably on the right side. Number five, you can tell much about a person by who they link up with. Some folks draw closer to God and God's people. Letter B, some people are drawn to the world. And you can get all that too. So who they're attached to. It says, underneath letter C, it says, they took of them some certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. They took of them, they attached themselves to a lewd person, a hurtful person, an evil person. And evil, by the way, evil means bad. That's all it means. Not good. Now, I hate to say that. That puts a whole lot more of us and more of our actions possibly in the category of evil than we might think. If it's not righteous, unrighteous, it can be, if it can very easily slip into that evil category. And then letter D, they linked themselves up with the world's powers and they played politics. Now, in verse 5, we're going to give you new stuff here. We've got to keep moving because we got a late start here. It says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Watch. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Number six, false imprisonment. False imprisonment. Now, I'm using that term. Right now, I hate to be political, but if you go against, we have come to a point in our country that if you go against the current political party, they may simply attack you. Put you in prison if they have to, whether it's justifiable or is it not. Now, I'm just saying that really as an example as what people can do. People can shut you out. They can cancel you, if you will. You want to kind of put underneath that category. They will just simply mark you as being wrong. And to be honest with you, and again, I'm not trying to make, not trying to cause a problem here, but independent, fundamental Baptist churches are being attacked. They really are. Now, in our little community, we probably don't notice it too bad, and we really don't. But there is actually an attack, and always has been on the Bible, or always has been, but it's getting much more brazen these days. And in fact, to be honest with you, we're still running under the radar. Be honest with you. Our church is still running under the radar. If they decided to catch all this, and they're going to say, well, you hate this, these people, and you hate these. We don't hate anybody. We hate sin. It's because sin hurts people. The wages of sin is death. That's what we hate, is the sin. But they'll say, well, this is who I am, so if you hate that, then you hate me. We don't. We just feel sorry for you that you're stuck in that mess. You know, but it's amazing how, even though we don't have a problem with these people, we're not here to hurt, you'd be surprised how they might attack. Underneath it, letter A there, it says they assaulted the house. They assaulted the house of Jason. That means, here it is, to take into hand the household of Jason. To come in, to make a move, to assault, to get everybody in the house and haul them out. Letter B, but the apostles who had preached were not there. So to avoid looking foolish after they had told the whole world that the place was full of bad guys in there, they had to arrest somebody. So they take hold of Jason, an innocent bystander, and some of his family. So then letter C, I guess it's letter C, we have a false accusation. We have a false accusation. If they say, these have turned the world upside down. That wasn't them. We need to be, I hate to say it, we need to be ready to be called the bad guys. Number two, the religious folks, quote unquote, religious folks, stir up trouble and then they blame it on the Christians. There's nothing new there. Do you realize that we're being blamed for suicides of transgenders? You do realize that. We're blamed for suicide for people who are homosexual and lesbian because we made them feel bad. It's amazing how they can do that. It's a false accusation. They're going to blame it. You do realize that Nero blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians. The Romans at that point then literally skewered Christians like a tiki torch and put them out in the crowd, put them around and burned people alive for lights for their drunken orgy parties. That's how wicked they were. Because they said, well, they were the blame for the burning. Amazing. Amazing. Number seven. It says, these have turned the world upside down. Upside down, number seven, is a matter of perspective. Upside down, I'm just trying to give you a little wisdom here, folks. Don't let them ruin you. Don't let them talk you out of your faith. Just because they come at you, they seem frightful. Listen, if that's the way they are, we know they're not of God. I'll tell you, the ones that are hard to find out are the ones that talk about they're God, and sometimes they are, but then they're attacking you like Satan. Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that's hard to find, the ones to identify. But I'll tell you what, the world's not. The gospel, watch, is just the opposite of the world's philosophy. The gospel is just the opposite of the world's philosophy. It is as if, they live in another world or a parallel dimension. Everything is just the opposite of how we see it. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Letter B, we are headed against the current of the world. We just got to realize that. Don't be surprised when we feel like we're swimming upstream. Number one, actually, the world is headed against the power and authority of God. This is actually kind of a compliment. When the world fights against us so blatantly, we must be making a significant impact. A significant impact. As Peter says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So they attack the people, they false imprisonment, they have a false accusation. Number eight, they're accused of illegal activities. This is interesting. Illegal activities. They draw a man and his family out of his house, Jason, and then they accuse them of illegal activity. What does it say there? It says, "Jason hath received these who do contrary to the decrees of Caesar." He says, "You can't do this. That's illegal." Listen, Jason was just minding his own business. He was an innocent man accused of being against all that is right and good. Again, I hate to do this, but I'm telling you, Satan has the same old tricks. He hasn't done anything new. There are people who are walking down the mall in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and they were just walking outside, and they've been accused and actually sentenced and are paying a term, maybe even in jail, for having just been near the property on January 6th. Now, again, I use that as an example, but I'm just telling you that that's nothing new for Satan to do. And the fact is, we try to do right, and what we're going to do is we're going to say it's illegal. And if it wasn't already illegal, they'll make it illegal. You say, well, do they really do that? Do you remember Daniel? Daniel the lion's den? The other wise men there didn't like Daniel getting promoted like he was, and he said, "They're not really one of us. Why is he getting all the good things here?" They decided they didn't like Daniel. And so what did they do? They tried to find whatever they could find, and they went out looking for dirt on Daniel. Does this sound like politics? So they went looking for dirt on Daniel, and they couldn't find any. So what did they do? They said, "You know what that guy does? He prays like three times a day." How do you know that? Well, he sits in front of his window there and kind of looks toward Jerusalem, and he prays three times a day. Well, that's it. What do you mean that's it? We'll just get the king to make praying illegal. That's what we'll do. And so they talked the king in and to say, well, this for 30 days, nobody's allowed to ask anything of any other god but you, because you're so great, king. I am pretty great, aren't I? All right, let's do it. And so they do. And of course, Daniel, knowing the decree, went to God anyway. And he said, there he is! And they arrest him and take him to the king, the Medes and Persians, which doesn't change. And he said, Daniel, what am I supposed to do? I can't change the law, which he just did. I got a decree. So I got to put you in the lion's den. And so he puts them in the lion's den. And the first day, and as early in the morning, the king goes to the lion's den and says, hey, Daniel, you all right? And he says, live forever, O king. The Lord has stopped the mouths. Now, Daniel, man of God, what did they do? They attacked him because he was doing right. I'm sorry, but you know another thing that Daniel, the book of Daniel talks about? The end time. And I'm afraid we're getting close. Or at least we're going through another cycle, and maybe the Lord will bring us back out for the revival. Maybe he will. This is a side note here. You realize that man is blessed by God. And then he starts worshiping the blessings rather than God. And then he goes into apostasy. He says, well, I don't need God. And then he goes into depravity. So you can't hardly live, and everything goes into chaos. And then there's a dictator. Can't have a democracy when there's chaos. A constitutional form of government, as our founding fathers said, will only work for a moral and religious people. He says we are controlled either by a power within or by a power without. Either by the strong arm of man or by the word of God. Either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Why do we keep saying our problem is we just need more police, more police, more police? How many do you think we need? One for every person. Why? Because we're not being led by a moral on the inside. A dictator takes over, and then we go to God for mercy to deliver us. And God in his grace delivers us.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. And then it goes all the way around. History has done that ever since history has been. Number 9. Says they troubled the people. They stirred them up like troubled waters. They caused an agitation. They caused a commotion. They do this to justify their drastic actions.
And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers, verse 6, unto the city, crying,
These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And disturbed the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken the security of Jason the other, then they let them go. They created a chaos to make it look like here, we're here to fix it. See, there's a problem, we got to fix it. I hate, you know, it's like saying, it's like making the economy, or let's say make the inflation go up to a certain rate from here, and we bring it down to here and say, look what I've done for you. Gas prices go up to here, and we bring it down to here. Look what I've done for you. That's, and so, again, I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just telling you, we're seeing this happen. And it happens in our regular life. And I hate that. And again, I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet. And I don't know. But the fact is, and it may be 100 years from now, but obviously we're seeing the world being prepared to receive the dictator. I saw a blurb, an ad, I forget what it was, and you may know the name, may not know. If you don't know the man, don't know the name, it's probably good. But Stephen Colbert having an interview, and he literally said, I would love to have somebody who would just make all the decisions for us. And the person kind of looked at him. No, I said, I'm serious. I would love it if we had somebody out here making all the decisions for us. And then he says that, and people will agree with him. Yeah, me too. Who knows what to do out there? It'd be nice if somebody was just making all the decisions for us. We just have somebody. Obviously, we can trust government. This was not a political message, by the way. Number 10, verse 9 says, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Now remember, it says, whom Jason has received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's no other king but Jesus, and they troubled the people, and the rulers of the city, when they heard these things, they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they, who's that? The rulers of the city. When they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. Now, who caused the stir? The Jews who didn't believe, the religious. But they're out in a Greek town, okay? So the rulers of the city are most likely Gentiles. And they see an uproar going on here. They say, we got to get this stopped. And so what actually happens there, if number 10, they took security of Jason. Apparently, the rulers of the city saw an inordinate amount of physical tension among the people and were afraid they may do something violent. And so the rulers, here was letter B, took Jason and his brethren into custody for their protection rather than for a crime. And when they felt they would be safe and secure, they allowed them to go back home. They actually kind of arrested Jason to get him out of the crowd. And the crowd dispersed, and then they let him go. Number 11, trusting in oppression. This is attitude and demeanor. It says they were moved with envy. They had a feeling, a heavy feeling against something. They were jealous over. It's from a word that means jealousy. It means heat. It means emulation, indignation, zeal.
which is from a word that means to boil, to be hot and boil. And so Psalm 62:10 says, trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. So they, these people, they boiled with it. They moved with envy. I was way back in verse 5 there. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. Listen, you can tell where they're coming from when they're boiling hot like that. They're coming at you. The frown shows up. You know what's going on there. Letter B, identify your oppressor's motivation. Identify your oppressor's motivation. By their fruit ye shall know them, Galatians 5:16. And number two, if you see the works of the flesh, watch. If you see the work, this is important. Letter B, number two, if you see the works of the flesh rising up, you know that the Holy Spirit is not leading them, so stand your ground and don't allow Satan as a roaring lion to scare you into the briars. When you see the flesh rising up, remember, you stand your ground. Because old Satan is trying to oppose you. Number 12, trusting in opposition. Trusting in opposition. Boy, we got a little bit to do here. It's time to go home. Wow, I didn't want to do any more of this next time. I guess we better stop. I'll catch that next time. We'll catch on the end there. It's time to get out of here. So we'll try to do that next time. I'm sorry, I didn't catch what time it was. Look what time it is. All right, we'll catch some more of that next time. Listen, not everything that glitters is gold. And just because somebody seems to have authority, make sure you remember, listen, look at them. Look at their motivation. Look at what's going on in their heart. Look at what's going on. You know, their approach to things and so forth. That's all part of it. That's all part of it. You got to be careful. And listen, we got to be, you know, if the world's out there giving you a hard time because of your stand, don't change your stand. Stay with the book. Stay with the book. We got to stop.